So I was at my friend's the other day. We're really milking our weather in Chicago as we can in like backyard fires. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're like, listen, it's about to be -5. Welcome to the Midwest. Lake effect. Anyway, we were out there and I bring up our, I don't know if I could say our favorite cartoon. I don't know. The Simpsons is probably our favorite cartoon.
Like our favorite childhood intended cartoon.
100%. I brought up Pepper Ann and yet again, this fucking classic of my life that is honestly so important to me, no one in the group had heard of. And I will say two of the folks in this like friend circle are like one is like 10 years older than me. One is like 7 years older than me. So they'll get a pass. But the other person who was with us, she's like 6 months younger than me.
No, then so I'm that's like, not
you
acceptable.
Were the window. There's no reason. And everybody was like, what was this on? And then people, of course, asked Pepper Ann, like, I don't know, is this like Doug?
And it surprises me that no one ever knows what it is, because I've had the same experience. And actually, like, maybe 5 years ago, I spent a considerable amount of time one night trying to find online, like, where I could stream Pepper Ann, like, where I could download it illegally, like, or purchase the DVDs, but like, couldn't find any DVDs. Like, it's like nowhere. And it was in the same block as Doug and Recess on one Saturday morning. So it just feels to me like, people should know about it, and like it should get like some kind of syndication.
Well, that's the other thing that stressed me out, is these people, maybe true hermits, had never heard of Recess, which I feel like more people have heard of Recess than have heard of Pepper Ann. But here's the thing. Pepper Ann, I would put in the league of cartoons, like certainly with Recess because it aired around the same time on one Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. But like, I would put it in terms of its vibe with like Doug, Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
Like these existential kind of like sad boy characters, like trying to navigate being like a young teen.
There's a lot of diary time.
Right, as told by Ginger, another great example, although that had a female protagonist, and again, didn't last very long. And here's the thing.
Oh my God,
I feel like people are more into this, like, sad boy existential crisis, but, like, are not giving the female protagonist as much time.
That is 100% why I feel. Because also, like, you have that with My So-Called Life, like, was a wonderful, wonderful series, but
or even one of our favorite other live action shows, fucking State of Grace.
Oh my god, I loved State of Grace. Yeah, I and I tried State to find Grace that as an adult,
so
also.
So much.
I don't know, like Netflix or somewhere needs to like pick up all of these like lost female led shows. Because like Recess got picked up again, and that like that's admittedly like an ensemble crew, but like TJ, who's a male,
TJ's the main person, and
exactly.
It's a dude.
Yes. Well,
and I just want to say, like, if you've never heard of State of Grace, which I feel like maybe had two or three seasons, just like Pepper Ann had like two or three seasons, like all you need to hear is like young Mae Whitman and
I know
what is her name, who is from Arrested Development.
She's maybe on. Oh, fuck. What is her name? And then she also, like, plays, like, Alana's doppelganger, who she hooks up with.
Alia, Aaliyah, it's, oh.
You know who we're talking about.
You know who we're
talking
about. She's
freckles.
She
was also.
Beautiful Jewish girl, like, curly, like, brown hair. I love her. And, oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. I don't know. I don't know why people haven't seen State of Grace. I feel like people, thankfully, a lot of people have seen My So-Called Life, but that shouldn't have been canceled.
But
after
they
one
saw
season.
It like later. I feel like people have seen my, like, there's a blip of people that watched it in the 90s if they were like in middle school or high school at the time. And then other than that, I feel like it's, I only watched it like because my parents thought that I would like it and like ordered the box set 1 year for Christmas. And I feel like it's kind of having a second life through that it didn't have in the 90s.
Sure.
But yeah, once again, I don't know. I want to like make a television network that just plays all of this stuff.
Oh,
all
like
the canceled
Pepper Ann,
female shows.
State of Grace. So My So-Called Life. Oh my God. Is that our platform now?
I think that would be an incredible show. It could be, a mix of cartoon and live action programming.
I want to fucking hear about it if you remember Pepper Ann, because this delightful cartoon where like a seventh grader like existentially talked to her reflection all the time and like made problems bigger than they were and then realized people didn't care that much about them. And it was like, then like, oh, everything's okay. Also was like, had crushes on people and then realized they were like, in like not infallible people, like when Craig shaved his head and then he had a lumpy head and she was like, I like him less now that his head's like not shaped perfectly. And she goes, huh, that's funny, because like I thought he was perfect, but he has a lumpy head. And then Craig being like, yeah, my head's lumpy, kind of sucks, whatever. I was like, this is the content children need. Okay,
it really is.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This.
Welcome.
You made that up. Listen.
And remember, the greatest myth about the moon is that America went there in Apollo 11. Good night. Good night.
We would take Jamie's grandma's underwear, run them underwater, put them all in the freezer.
All of them, though. So there were none.
Literally every pair.
Ooh, quick pause for a thermometer read. Do you believe in hypnosis?
Like ethically?
Lisa Frank went to high school with the Romneys. And then I'm going to have a second mouth on my back.
That needs feeding.
Needs feeding.
Welcome. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast hosted by Pepper Ann fangirls, also fangirls of State of Grace, My So-Called Life. Just generally female protagonists in television marketed towards young adults, should we say, or children, perhaps.
But programming that is wise beyond its years.
Honestly, led by a female role. Anyway, we're dissecting that, and we're dissecting pseudoscience, psychology, pop culture, whatever we're noodling on at any given time in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That is Jamie Ryan in Los Angeles.
And that is Austin Williams in Chicago.
Ugh. I mean, gosh.
The only other thing I wanted to say about these female sort of whatever this classification of shows is that
we'll work on the genre for our network description. Go on.
And our Netflix like subcategory.
Perfect.
But when we have also that green gem that creates electricity, I think that this be the only channel that is allowed to be played in the gem.
I
to alien.
I don't think it should be. Yeah, I think it would hurt our impact for the environment, but I think we should make it like the default channel that every device turns on to. Kind of like when you open up a web browser and we've like given you a home
page. It's a home page.
It'll be like our network and you'll get sucked in just like, again, you want to know another show with an existential sad boy, one of a favorite of mine also though, fucking Arthur.
Oh and my God. It's Arthur, oh my God, it's just the younger version.
I mean, honestly, talk about Arthur, though. Like, when I turn on the television, even today, if I turned it on and Arthur was on, I'd be like, oh, let me stay for a minute.
Me
and
too.
I'd like to think that our network would have that kind of impact, that people would turn it on and be like, oh, I'll stay here for a minute. And that's how we reach people. But we don't force them into it because that, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah. No, I don't want to do that. God, I love Arthur. Anyway,
Arthur so much. Shout out to UPBS. Fucking great show. DW, Francine, Muffy, ladies of the show. I mean, Arthur himself, but like the mom. Oh my God, Mrs. Reed. God bless her.
Deborah, is that her name? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but God bless Arthur. God bless Arthur.
Okay.
So. Anyway, we're not here to talk about our network, TN.
We're not here to workshop our network.
We're not here to workshop our next business venture. Although we've worked out like a way to solve the future with our eco-friendly gyms, where we're powering the community, bringing power to the community,
and eventually passing legislation that requires people to power their own homes with bikes, which will officially solve obesity and energy crisis.
Right. The partnership with Peloton is pending, guys. Okay. It's pending. Alex Toussaint, call me. Okay. But I just, it's not what we're talking about. That's
all.
But we'll continue to workshop our own business ventures at the beginning of these episodes because, maybe you have some connections that could make it possible for us. If you know about, Pepper Ann, I actually really would appreciate an email or a DM just confirming that someone else has seen this show, because other than like a light Google that does confirm it's real, when Jamie and I talk about it, consistently no one has ever heard of it, and it does make me question if it happened anyway.
I have wondered, yes, if you and I fell into some kind of tunnel at that time and we're the only people that know about it. So yeah, if you know how to get a hold of it, if you know how we could watch it, please DM us and let us know, because like we would love to watch it again.
It's so important to me. It's so important to me. Okay, but what are we actually talking about?
So you
today?
Don't know yet. It. Yes.
I don't know. I'm excited. You listeners know already, and I don't know because you've probably read the title of the episode you're listening to. So
this is
you're one step ahead.
Another kind of like OG topic, meaning that I'm like, how did I not do this yet? We are finally talking about Quiverful.
Oh, you have been waiting.
Oh my God,
I sent you a clip recently. This is perfect because I sent you a screenshot of something from Perez Hilton about the Duggars recently. And I was like, this is the only reason I'd read mm-hmm. Perez Hilton. Mm-hmm. Did that inspire this movement, this episode?
This episode's been kind of like pending for a while, but I wanted to get a hold of a couple more resources because it's actually like a little bit difficult to find a lot of information on it, and it's because it's pretty new.
Okay.
And it's like kind of a fragmented movement, but we'll get into that.
Listen, you have to tell people, because I'm sure many of you have seen, like, you know, in a dark time of TLC programming, some version of like 18 Kids and Counting, and are familiar with the Duggars and their little family of J names, like Josiah and Jessa and the whole clan.
Jim Bob, the dad.
Fucking Jim Bob. I can't. But the Duggars are not like the only part of this, and maybe people haven't heard the term Quiverful. Mm-hmm. So give us tell the party, is the peeps, the folks, what the fuck a Quiverful is.
So I guess colloquially, or like if you're just like out in the world and maybe you see someone with like 15 kids and like neck
in a small passenger van.
Exactly. In a 15 passenger van with like neck to ankle dresses, maybe at a Chick-fil-A camp out. I don't know for sure.
We can't know, probably, though.
Yeah. You're probably like, what religion is that? And the answer is like various religions, but these people might be a part of the Quiverful movement. And as you mentioned, the Duggars are like the most kind of obvious Quiverful people with their many children and their television show. However, mm-hmm. they have like publicly distanced themselves from the Quiverful movement and from the Quiverful leader, who had some ties with there were like some sex charges, and like maybe he had like an underage sex slave, and he is in prison now. And so they don't like to say that they're like associated with Quiverful, but we can, after we learn about Quiverful today, decide if we think they are or are not. I guess the best place to start would be with the biblical passage that inspires mm-hmm. and is quoted very much in Quiverful communities. So
as you would expect, some biblical passage to be involved.
As you would expect. So the name Quiverful comes from the Old Testament Bible verses, Psalms 127, 3-5, which Mary Pride, who is coming up later in this episode, cited repeatedly in her book, The Way Home, which encouraged women to leave their careers and have as many children as possible.
I'm not loving this from just a jumping off point. Also, the way, why are we trying to get women back in that? It's already, there's so many. Ooh, okay.
It's riddled. Get ready. And I want to say,
it's riddled
up top that, like, similarly to when we did maybe like the Virgin Daughters episode.
Sure. Purity Balls giving my virginity to my dad. Check it out. Earlier episode. Great content. Okay.
I want to approach this with, like, of course, like a level of like lightness and silliness, because like this is so far away from what we believe. But sure. Also, I want to try to, like,
you mean in the empowerment of women and mm-hmm. just all people? Mm-hmm. Okay, go
this
on.
Is like some mm-hmm. backwards shit. And so I want to be like sensitive to like the people who are entrenched in this ideology.
Okay.
And
fair.
Just try to,
you didn't
like,
choose to be born into the
exactly.
quiver.
You didn't choose to be born into the quiver. Thank you. So without further ado, a little Bible voice to get us started.
Oh, God. Here comes the spooky. And you thought Spooktober was over.
Oh, my
God.
Here comes
Genesis voice.
Okay. Let's see if I can do it.
No. It's actually not. It's Revelation's voice. It's not it Genesis' voice. Genesis is too hopeful.
It's both. I've also read Genesis in this voice. And now I'm reading a psalm. So we're really hopping around. Okay,
here we go. Hopping around that Bible. Go ahead. Sorry.
Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And that last part I don't really totally understand, but well, I guess
it's something probably about going to hell and the enemies. Who are the enemies? I don't know.
I take that back, actually. That part is taken to mean building an army for the Lord. So this passage is saying...
I hate this army for the Lord shit. why does everything have to be, like, militant, you know?
I don't know. Do you remember... There was a song that I used to sing at Sunday school when I went to a Nazarene church with my grandmother. Hold on. Let me quickly try to remember these lyrics. It's something about... I may never march in the cavalry, ride in the... Wait.
Oh, I may never march in the cavalry.
Infantry, ride in the cavalry.
Infantry, fight the artillery.
But I'm in
the Lord's army. Oh, man. Wow. Dusting that shit off, I'll tell you what. Wow. I don't like that. I'm feeling some sort of way about Vacation Bible School, that song in particular. Go on.
Me too. So the quiver is just like the pack of kids that you have. And the analogy or like the metaphor or whatever is that like your children, you like raise them up in like a godly way. So like in whatever your specific religion is, that is in this case very much like extreme conservative Christianity. And then when they kind of like go off into their own out into the world, that's like you like shooting your arrows like out into the world, and like they
spread that seed,
their own families, and pack their own quiver that then they shoot out like a semen upon the world to many places. And so that's the quiver analogy, is just like have as many kids as you can so that like we can populate the world with extreme Christianity.
You know, it's immediately things that come to mind, like with that passage and just things that you were saying that stress me out. So we've already addressed the like, why does it have to be an army? Why do we have to be like fighting? What, we don't need the Crusades.
We don't need it again. Campus Crusade is weird to me that it's called that, because the Crusades are like a stain on history.
I never thought about the syntax of that group until
just now. Oh my God, I always think about it. It's so inappropriate.
Wow, like what? You're going to like lead a crusade through the campus? Mm-hmm. Wow, that I don't like that. Wow.
Armor of the Lord.
I'm really evaluating the name of that group in a different way right now. Okay, Young Life, get it together, you fucking weirdos. Anyway.
We've really been coming for Young Life lately.
I mean, honestly, all I want to do in my like life is come for Young Life. I'm coming for you, Young Lifers. But what I'm going to say here is immediate things that rub me the wrong way, because I just feel like it's so exclusionary because it's putting the value on women in particular, but I also think like people in general is like having children, which I do think generationally is something people continue to steer away from. Mm-hmm. And then I start thinking about like women who have fertility issues, or men who have fertility issues. It affects everyone. And or people who like want to have children, but like are, you know, maybe not having the opportunities fiscally or through adoption agencies or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, this is like shitty, because you're maybe making people like a little less worthy than other folks. And then also saying that happiness is having children, which I also think is a weird way to think about children who are full people as like some sort of thing to be possessed. Like,
that's a big thing in this. That's a really good point.
I don't like this of like children giving you status, because that's like the wrong reason to have kids. And also like having a like It brings some like quality versus quantity things for me, because I'm like, I mean, listen, shout out to big families, but I'm like, how intimate of a relationship are you having with your siblings and your parents if there are like 15 of you?
Well,
you know?
I'll tell you, it's probably a pretty intimate relationship if you all don't ever see any other people and you don't know any other kids.
Okay, well, this could take a dark turn, so go on.
All right, so I'd like to move into basic info and beliefs, which I have pulled in Q&A form from a blog called No Longer Quivering. So there's this woman named...
what a great name. So it sounds like she was part of the Quiverful community and then was like, I'm no longer quivering. And I love the Quakers, but I kind of hope there's like a no longer quaking just for a syntax kind of thing.
I don't think they're an abusive group.
No longer crusading.
That
maybe
should
we could
be
start
something.
That one. Let's make that happen.
Oh
I don't know.
God,
I like the syntax.
I like it too.
Right?
So this woman's name is Vicky, and I can't remember her last name right now, but the No Longer Quivering blog.
Dishonorably discharged from the Lord's army. I'm sorry.
I'm Thank sorry, you. Necessary interruption. Myself. So okay. necessary. Oh my God. I was going to say I'm going to write that down, but it's recorded. So.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
I've been dishonorably discharged and then they like stamp my file. Okay.
That's incredible. Okay. Mm-hmm. So. Vicky is like one of the primary sources on information about Quiverful, because she's one of the only people who has left and been really vocal about like what it is. It like, I don't know. There are like videos you can watch about like Quiverful families that are just like promoting it or like representing it like fairly positively. But
sure.
She is like really laying it out for like what the actual beliefs are.
This makes me think about the former Miss USA contestant that we talked about in the Purity Ball episode, who was part of the Purity Ball community and then left that very like virgin like community, like my sexuality is like and my purity is the only thing important, and talked about how it affected her and like relationships afterwards and how it's hard with her family. I like this perspective of someone who has been in and then left, because it's kind of that hindsight 2020 thing. I think it gives us in some ways the most nuanced version of shit.
I agree, and I wanted a source beyond like the Duggars or my favorite new show, Welcome to Plathville. Guys, check it out.
Wow, okay.
It's just about a Quiverful family that's like kind of not falling apart, but they're experiencing a lot of turmoil because the oldest son moved out and married a woman who grew up Quiverful also, but like left Quiverful and she is like a lot of dangerous ideas, and she's like Ethan or Olivia, so like the oldest kid and his wife who don't live at home anymore, they won't let them be with the other kids unsupervised.
Oh, because they're afraid they're gonna like teach them shit.
Yeah, yeah. Mariah, one of the daughters, really wants to go to college, and the mom is like constantly doing everything in her power to like talk her out of it, make it impossible, tell her not to. And so like Olivia like takes her on a couple of trips. It's like pulling teeth to get the parents to let Mariah like go visit colleges and just like do anything outside of like just be at home. It's a very interesting show. It's a little cringy at times. There's a modeling scene that you might have to fast forward through.
perfect. Okay,
it's on Hulu, check it out. Anyway, back to Vicky and No Longer Quivering. And this is why I'm doing this episode finally, is like I found these resources. Like I didn't want to like tell everything through the lens of TLC or Hulu. I wanted to like,
yeah, because it's a very specific lens. It's
absolutely
for television,
and it's curated through someone who didn't grow up this way. So here we go.
And it's made to be entertaining.
Correct. So this is a series of questions and answers that will help us understand the beliefs and some basic info. So first question,
Vicky,
is what is Quiverful a denomination? And Vicky tells us that Quiverful is not a denomination. Those families which are involved are not required to ascribe to any particular doctrinal beliefs. So like they can be any kind of Christian that they want, basically.
I feel like Purity Balls are similar, right?
Agree. It's that loose kind of like extremist thing that happens that's like in a lot of sects, but like not all of them. Anyway, she says, you will find Quiverful families in many different denominations, though they seem to be most heavily represented in more fundamental denominations, such as Baptist, also mm-hmm. Church of Christ / Disciples of Christ, and mm-hmm. the church that I went to when I was small that I've talked about a few times, which was a, quote, non-denominational church.
Sure.
She says that the teachings of the Quiverful lifestyle are spread primarily through the Christian homeschool movement. Many of the publishing companies which cater to the curriculum needs of the Christian homeschool community also publish and promote materials which address lifestyle choices regarding biblical family structure, roles, and practices.
And people wonder why homeschoolers get a bad rap, okay?
They do. And I'm saying, like, anyone can homeschool, but, like, if you're homeschooling like this, yikes. And, like, maybe watch out for Christian homeschool materials. Next question is, what are the basic family values teachings which are frequently adopted by Quiverful families? So there are a lot of values that she runs through, but I just grabbed a couple that I wanted to talk about because there were too many. So the first...
Yes, there always are.
Yeah, but they all are, like, you'll get the theme, like, you'll catch on. I'm sure you already know. But the biggest one is patriarchy. And this is,
I was gonna say, I feel like it has to start with, in some ways, valuing men over women.
And, like, I think all of the other beliefs kind of fit inside this one thing. So, like, this is the primary belief is in the okay. patriarchy, the belief that by God's perfect design, it is the father mm-hmm. who is the head of the home. In his leadership capacity, the father serves as protector, provider, and shepherd for his wife and children.
I don't like it.
Primarily responsible for the wife's and children's physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And with such responsibility comes the divinely granted commensurate authority over the members of the household. So the dad decides what everyone's emotional needs are.
I'm just going to jump in here real quick on this one and say, listen, shout out to the dads. There are a lot of beautiful men and beautiful fathers out there. But I think about just take any given generation, and if their emotional, like, needs and development
of teen girls
reliant on of teen girls of, you know,
everyone,
gay men and women, like, anyone, like, if one generation had to, like, only get their emotional, like, support and needs met by their dad, I think,
who has 100 kids
down. right, who has 100 children, okay? I just, like, shit would be on fire more than it already is.
It would indeed.
Like, we got some patriarchal issues right now, but what if, like, the world subscribed to this belief that it's, like, everything must come from your dad? Like, and first
exactly
of all,
this is beyond just, like, mainstream, like, indoctrination of the patriarchy, like, what we all experience,
right? And I also want to say, because I want to, like, give compassion to both sides here, how unfair to ask, like, a father to be able to fulfill all of those needs for all of these people. Because truly, if you have deep empathy and compassion and really are taking that job seriously in a way that it's not like all of these other people in your family and life are, like, just, like, trophies for you to hang on a wall. Mm-hmm. If you're, like, really trying to, like, make this happen, impossible. No one can fulfill any one person, like, all of their needs.
Let alone how 100 children and 50,
I wouldn't
want to
be one of the
women.
Kids or the wives or, like, partners in this situation. And I certainly wouldn't want to be the dad in this situation. Like, both sides are not good.
Absolutely. She goes on to say that honor, obedience, and submission are highly valued qualities because they are necessary to maintain order and work together to accomplish the Lord's vision for a godly family. So everybody else has to,
dishonorably discharged,
like,
from the Lord's family. Go on.
I am. But I just wanted to say that I struggled with this idea growing up as a conservative Christian child. And
sure.
that my family, until very recently, I feel like part of, like, the narrative about me and something that, like, people would talk about, like, when I wasn't around, but I would hear, like, some about later, was that they would wonder and worry what kind of man would be able to, like, handle me. Like, what kind of man, like, would be, like, strong or dominant enough to, like, have authority over me, and, like, concerned that would be a problem for me, like, in finding someone.
I mean, as a heterosexual woman, I do think that, like, no man can handle me, but I'm also not...
You're not here to be handled.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think anyone can handle me, but, like, I'm also, like, not trying to be handled. I'm just not.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she talks about courtship or betrothal instead of dating. And I think instead of dating is a really good point. So,
okay.
The father's protection and authority over his children extends especially to the choosing of a mate. In this system, the fathers play a very influential role in the, quote, courtship process. Every family seems to have its own take on exactly how courtship should be carried out, but typically, if a young man is interested in a particular girl, he will consult with his father, who then approaches the father of the young lady, to discuss the possibility of a match. If the girl's fathers are in agreement, he will then talk to his daughter, and if she shows interest, which thank God she has to show interest, the courtship or betrothal, which is apparently as binding as marriage, begins, and this basically means that the couple is serious about getting married. The parents.
Wait, how do you make a contract that's as binding as marriage about a relationship that isn't marriage? Like, I don't even understand that.
That tripped me up as well. And I'm going to say that that maybe is an example of how the social rules of a community can feel every bit as binding as laws when you're in them, is what I would think that would be.
Wow, I don't love it.
Neither do I. Okay. I also don't love that the parents are in control of the relationship at all times. The couple isn't. And,
go ahead. I mean, arranged marriage is like totally a whole nother conversation, and there are a lot of cultural nuances mm-hmm. and stuff there. But generally, even when there are like arranged marriages, there's also some level of like autonomy and approval oftentimes. This just, I don't know. I don't like giving anyone authority over something
that's a huge life decision just for you and your body and your future.
Right. Yeah. There's so much wrapped up in. I'm sweating a little bit.
And okay. This is a person for you to like push out a million babies for. Don't forget. Specifically.
I don't like it.
It's the point.
Yeah. Right. Because that's your role. So like, yeah, someone's choosing who you have sex with, which I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Anyway, so the couple cannot be alone together, which we saw in 19 Kids and Counting with the Duggars, their courtship process.
Oh yeah. They do that.
Yep.
Totally. And we talked about on Post-Christianity with our friend Matt Johnson of like the dating lounges at like kind of Bob Jones colleges.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Bob Jones? Doug Jones?
I think something. It was Bob. Okay. Bob was right, I think. Okay. And if we get it wrong, I don't care. Anyway.
You'll correct us anyway.
The courtship / betrothal period is usually brief, and it is expected that the couple will experience their first kiss at the marriage altar.
Yeah, that shit stresses me out
me
in
too.
A way that I like can't even.
At that time, the father's authority over the daughter is transferred to her new husband.
I'm not even gonna weigh in.
No, we know. We don't even have to. It's a waste of energy. So,
okay,
we went to grade school with someone who was later to be homeschooled in a really conservative Christian way. We went to grade school with this family, and I'll just bleep it, I guess. But
Were they quiverfuls, or was he just like this?
So I don't think that they were quiverful because they only had 3 kids, but like, but there could be any number of reasons, like fertility wise, why maybe they only had 3, but wanted more, who knows? But they were all saving their first kiss for the altar. And I just remember thinking that was like the craziest thing ever when I was like in high school and like seeing them from time to time.
I just have a lot of questions about that. I just have a lot of questions.
You just can't
about
like know someone, and like these betrothal periods or like courtships are super short because like everybody wants you to, like everybody wants you to fuck, but like you can't fuck till you get married. But like they want you to reproduce as soon as possible, and so it's like this rushed courtship.
I also don't like that attitude, and I feel like this exists a little bit for the royal family, which is why they like court for so long sometimes before they get married, because then the expectation is you get pregnant right away, or so it seems like.
Make
and I
an
just
heir.
Think any expectation of like immediate like procreation upon marriage is like really unfair. And also, again, it comes back to like bodies are complicated.
And also anyone
guarantee immediate like reproduction. I don't know.
And anyone other than the couple like putting any kind of expectation on that or like their desires on that is weird and inappropriate. Like,
and you know what? People do this just in like quote unquote, you know, Western culture, mm-hmm. kind of what we maybe assume of courtship. Everybody's been to a wedding shower when people are already talking about like how soon, like, are you guys going to try and have kids? And I'm like, none of your business. Okay.
Yeah, it's really not. And I don't know. I think that there's maybe like a biological thing with just like the desire to like perpetuate one's lineage or like
sure.
have your DNA kind of spray out across the earth, if you will. And
I wish people weren't like that. I feel like it's very unbecoming.
I feel like it's tied to ego stuff, like not sure. wanting, like if you
little
die
narcissism perhaps
needing, you know? Absolutely. And I think that's why people are really like prefer to have like biological children rather than adopted children often.
Mm.
Because it is like the idea that after you die, you're kind of still alive, like affecting things, especially if you raised all these children up to be just exactly like you. Okay.
Especially.
Mm. Speaking of sheltering the children, that's her next value that she lists. The homeschool mindset includes the basic belief that children are to be protected and sheltered from, quote, the world, which is outside influences which could be detrimental to the child's spiritual well-being. It is often mm-hmm. quoted that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. This is then coupled with a scripture that says, a companion of fools shall be ruined. This lends itself to the logical conclusion that children, aka fools, should not be socialized by other children, aka fools, but instead should learn social skills exclusively from adults. Isolation and control of outside influence is not only considered normal and good, it is the godly approach to childbearing. It's very stressful.
I know.
It's very stressful. And to just once again call back to Welcome to Plathville, which you should watch. It's a good one, guys.
Okay.
Mariah wants
you're
to go
invested.
To college.
You like knew way too many names of cast members, if you will.
I know. Oh, yeah. Who is it that wants to... No, Josiah
Olivia
is...
and...
Well, Olivia and Ethan are... Ethan is the oldest child who moved out, and they're not allowed to see the younger siblings.
I mean... Okay.
So, but to this point, like the parents in Welcome to Plath, so the Plaths, the family,
yes.
the parents are like sheltering the children who are still at home from their own siblings who have left because they're concerned about their influence being like slightly different than what the parents would teach the kids. And they don't have any friends. And like post-quiverful kids. Yeah. Like a lot of post-quiverful kids that I like saw in like brief snippets of things researching describe themselves as slow to understand popular humor, which I just thought was like so sad and isolating.
Yeah. I do feel like how, I don't know. And I everybody's different. I get it. But I try and imagine myself in some scenario where this was my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I wouldn't be so depressed that bad things would, you know, result. You mm-hmm. know,
I don't know either.
So lonely.
So lonely in every position. Like, I think every family member, if they were like totally honest or could be, is probably really lonely. Like, the kids have each other, but that's all. And then, like, the women are, I cannot imagine how the women are okay, like, managing a house of 19 children. Like, your oldest kids start to help you take care of the younger children, and that's, like, some relief, but it's, like, stealing their youth.
And also, like, that's fucked up. Stop making kids be parents.
They didn't choose this. Yeah. And then the dad has all the pressure of the emotional, spiritual, and financial needs of the entire family. And, and then your only community is like the people that you go to church or maybe do a super Christian homeschool co-op with who are like perpetuating this idea. And even like the materials that you have for your children's school have this ideology woven through them, which is just insidious, I'll say. Anyway. Let's blow through these next values. Biblical manhood and womanhood. I think we understand what that is. And
don't love it.
The only other thing I want to say about that is that women are created to be something that's called helpmeets. Like the word help and the word meets combined together. Helpmeets to the men in authority
like
over
meat,
them.
Like from an animal or meat?
No. I wish. Oh my God. Just real quick, super quick aside. Arby's sends out to like once in a while, I can't remember why, but like if you have like a customer service issue with Arby's, or like you like make a video about them or something, they send you a set of meat sweats in your size, and it's literally a sweatsuit that has like zoomed in like the meats just all over it, and it's meat sweats.
I both love and hate this.
I think it's incredible. The next value, and this is the only one I'll say that maybe sounds like a little tempting to me, but then it gives way to some negative stuff. So being debt-free and independent of government programs / subsidies, and kind of like a being off the grid.
I mean, I appreciate like the value of like autonomy, and off the grid can lead to some weird vibes usually, like of being like, I want to be off the grid. I'm like, well, but... I appreciate this on like a fiscal level. They're not like have so many children you can't support, you know?
Well, but then they do anyway. So she tells us, Vicky says, that adoption of this ideal often leads to financial hardship and deprivation in large families. In order to achieve financial independence, a quiverful family will often move to a rural location or live in substandard housing. Wives often operate businesses out of their home, often employing the children to help with the work in order to supplement the husband's income. Refusal of government assistance sometimes means that these families go without medical insurance, a situation which can influence the parents to choose, quote, natural remedies, home birth, and similar non-medical approaches to family health. So that's just, it affects the ability to take care of the children, kind of. Because if you want to live off the grid and like be self-sufficient, you might only be able to have two or three kids.
Well, and choosing shittier healthcare just to save money is like a thing that a lot of people in this country face, and it's very wrong, but that's a whole nother episode.
It is. We can't.
But that, you know, being a thing here, I hate it. I hate to see it. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. So sounded good, but it's also bad. Anyway, the last one is going to be modesty, which is unsurprising. But a girl or woman whose clothing is revealing is guilty of defrauding her Christian brother because...
Well, I mean...
Because she is tempting him with impure thoughts in relation to a body, hers, which is not rightfully his to possess. Quiverful females often wear dresses only. Many will also wear a head covering as a sign of a woman's submission to her head, that is, her husband. It is tough. Not all quiverful families subscribe to the family values listed above, and not all accept these practices and teachings to the same degree. So there's different levels of intensity. And again, this is not a united movement. This is not one denomination. This is like an extra belief that gets like thrown onto some groups of people. And there are also quiverful families who do not homeschool. But she says that generally, the longer a Christian family is involved in the Christian homeschool community, the more deeply they become involved in this family values lifestyle that we just discussed. And Vicky tells us that it's a process which transforms a, quote, normal family into a patriarchal cult, completely at odds with the general population. And in fact, the more peculiar or kind of set apart the family becomes, the more they actually consider themselves to be true believers, following what they call the narrow way, as opposed to their neighbors who are on the broad path, which leads to destruction. This really makes me wonder about like Christian homeschool families that I knew, because I definitely knew like intensely Christian homeschool families, and I just wonder how much of this like indoctrination was woven into like their teachings. Like when they did word problems for math with their mom, was it like, was there like quiverful bullshit like worked into the word problems, you know, like when you get a situation like Becky has 11 lemons, like was
it right?
Becky has Becky 16 headscarves, and like this is too many. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like there could be
Becky's
like some
greedy person.
Exactly. You know, so if Becky gets rid of this greed. Many.
Okay. Becky gives away her headscarves to the other girls who need headscarves. Okay.
How many headscarves are left? Exactly. So I just wonder about that.
Because not enough women are wearing headscarves.
You're right. Oh, my God. But then, of course, the biggest value is just to have as many kids as you can and, like, keep them counting. Families that follow quiverful ideas refrain from using contraception, of course, believing that it is only God who, get ready for it, opens and closes the womb. I hate it.
That made my vagina just crawl up inside itself.
It flipped over. Yeah.
It retracted at that statement.
And then one adherent says that her husband, quote, saw it wasn't such a scary thing to do after all, and that God wouldn't overwhelm us with more children than we could handle. One baby.
Oh, I don't think that's always true.
One baby at a time arrived. Thank God he didn't have twins or triplets. And we were handling
it. Right, that's the next thing I was going to say.
So we felt our marriage was being blessed by this choice, and we continued. Yeah. So
I was waiting for the like until
no that woman that woman's all in as of right now, or at least as of 2013 when she spoke to the BBC. She could have since, I suppose, left, which would be great. So you're thinking to yourself, I've never heard of this. Is it new? And the answer is kind of. It didn't come around until like the mid to late 20th century. So like
interesting.
In the 70s started to kind of pick up steam. And you may also be sitting there thinking to yourself, doesn't this have alt-right affiliations and or origins?
Sure.
And I would say yes.
Right.
So
doesn't this seem like something Mike Pence would be on board for? Okay.
Doesn't it, mother? Anyway.
Oh, God. Again, my vagina just getting higher and higher into my torso.
Austin's vagina's in her throat. Listen.
Yeah, honestly.
It's not there for blowjobs. It's hiding.
It's that far retracted right now. Yep. Okay.
So I want to talk about Mary Pride and Nancy Campbell, who have been stripping women of freedom since the 1970s.
Oh, no, no, no. Also, this is what I hate to see the most is like women subscribing to the patriarchy in a way to like persecute other women. I'm like, this is honestly, when people are like, we hate to see it, this is maybe the thing I hate to see the most.
Absolutely. This is some Handmaid's Tale shit. So
yes, it is.
No Supreme Court intended, but here we go. In the mid to late 1920th century, as I mentioned, the Quiverful as a modern Christian movement began to emerge. And this is from Wikipedia, by the way, since I didn't say specifically. We've moved away from the blog sphere. So a woman named Nancy Campbell began publishing her magazine called Above Rubies, which promotes...
This is like some more jewels in the crown? What?
It is. Which promotes and glorifies stay-at-home mothers who have as many children as possible. And this was in 1977, she began posting. And in one post on Above Rubies, which is a website also, Nancy Campbell writes that the womb is, quote, a weapon against Satan. It is the womb that that conceives and nourishes the godly seed who will come forth to be the light in the darkness and who will destroy the works of Satan in this world.
Candle represents the light in the darkness. It also represents a penis.
Okay. Oh, I want to watch that movie. Anyway, back to Nancy.
For the Mighty Wind fans. Anyway.
God is looking for an army. The womb is a powerful weapon against Satan. Some women fear to bring babies into this evil world, but this is one of the greatest reasons for having children, to be the light in this dark world. And I just want to say, like, weird white savior alert on this one.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and quick note that Above Rubies is still an online publication / forum that I poked through. And guys, I am fucking up my Google search. Like, Google thinks that, like...
imagine the denim skirts full length that are being targeted to you, sweet woman.
Well, okay. So first of all, like, the internet thinks that I'm, like, an undecided Republican. And, maybe... maybe also that I'm an incel. Like,
oh my God, I can't can't breathe. Wow.
Like, the memes that I get pitched when I Google stuff are like make me gasp with like the like homophobic and like inappropriate like non-PC shit that I get pitched when I Google stuff. And I'm like, it's from doing this show. It's from
guys, the sacrifices we make for this podcast.
It's all right. I like the internet not knowing about me. Like, I like it really having no clue who I am.
A way to kind of hack the Big Brother dumb, and that people think some weird shit about us.
My algorithm is a wild card, is what I'm saying. Anyway, so I spent some time on the Above Ruby's website, which I recommend.
As one does.
A fun place to poke around. But I learned when I was there, because there's a little, actually not little, it's a whole page, about Nancy Campbell and her husband's children. And it kind of reads like a Christmas card. It's just like,
okay,
what her family is doing, I guess, because family is the most important thing to her. She like chronicles each of her children. So like two of her children run a women's weight loss business. One of her sons manages a Christian pop group called the Newsboys, which
I mean,
I guess is really famous, but I didn't know about. And then
we could want for nothing more than a Christian pop group to be involved in this narrative. Honestly, I'm serious.
I know. And then two of her adult children also live at home. And then there were some younger ones I can't remember. But I just thought it was like weird that there was like so much information about their family on that website. But of course there was.
Of course there was.
So while Campbell is in measure responsible for formulating quiverful ideas, the movement like really kind of took off after the 1985 publication of The Way Home, Beyond Feminism, Back to Reality by Mary Pride. I hate it. I hate it. And
all right.
So this part actually makes it worse. So How did Mary Pride...
How could it get worse? Go on.
Learning, like, that Mary Pride wasn't always this way.
Okay.
So Pride was born in New York City in 1955. She graduated from high school at age 15, after which she entered Rensselaer... Oh, boy. A polytechnic institute where she earned a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering in 1974 and a master's degree in computer systems engineering later that year, which, wow, I don't know how she did that in 1 year. Anyway, she then married her husband Bill around this time, and they both soon converted to evangelical Christianity. Pride had formerly considered herself a feminist activist. Yikes.
Somebody's got to. Okay.
But before the first of the Pride's 9 children were born, she had decided to homeschool them. The lack of homeschooling guides she encountered then prompted her to begin writing her own.
Mm-hmm.
So this all kind of kicked off from like she was like a feminist activist, like in a career woman, and then like converted to evangelical Christianity, had 9 children and decided to homeschool them. And then she was like, oh, there's no homeschooling materials. Like, I'm a competent woman despite like what I'm choosing to believe. And
sure.
I'll write some homeschool books. And then she also wrote The Way Home, which was her biggest work.
I don't love it. Okay.
I don't love it either. And in her book, The Way Home, Pride chronicled her metaphorical journey away from what she labeled feminist and antenatal ideas of happiness.
Well.
Right, right. Within which she had lived as an activist before, and then, of course, converted later to conservative evangelical Christianity in 1977 when she immediately wrote this book. And then she talks about her discovery of happiness surrounding what she portrays as the biblically mandated role of wives and mothers as the bearers of children and workers in the home under the authority of the husband.
I hate all this husband authority. It's really the thing that makes my, you know, it leads to a, yeah, I.
It's really rough. And this like really did a number on women's rights and like the women's lib movement.
Of course it did.
Because it like, and it's too bad because like this is an educated, like viable member of society who is just walking us, using all of her skills to walk us backwards. And that's, it's just, I don't know, it's so infuriating. And I will shout out again to the show Mrs. America, which I believe is supposed to be about Mary Pride or someone very similar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's a good watch. It's, you see like many famous people pretending
is
to
this
be.
Is this the one with Kate Blanchett?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. She's the she is like the Mary Pride character. And maybe there's another horrible woman that she's supposed to be, but like this is very similar and it's good to check out. Anyway, as the basis for her arguments, Pride selected numerous Bible verses in order to lay out what she saw as the biblical role of women. This included verses which she interpreted as perpetuating just her advocacy for compulsory childbearing and her opposition against against the use of birth control, which in her view was promoted by the feminist agenda, which
I mean,
she says she had formerly lived by. So Pride's explanations then became sort of like a spearhead basis of Quiverful. So like Quiverful people are like about Mary Pride. Like they love her work. Like she stated in her book that the church's sin, which has caused us to become unsavory salt, incapable of uplifting the society around us, is selfishness, lack of love, refusing to consider children an unmitigated blessing. In a word, family planning. So she's blaming like family planning for like destroying the world.
Well, I mean,
okay, so the last thing I want to say about Mary Pride's book, The Way Home, is that
I hate this title. It's so it feels horrible. Misleading.
It yeah, it's very misleading. But apparently it did a lot to recreate the homeschooling movement along patriarchal and militantly fertile lines.
Again with the fucking militant.
I know.
Vibes.
I know. And the thinking is described as if just 8 million American Christians began supplying more arrows of war by having six children.
Arrows of war? God, I can't.
By fucking having crusaders. Six children or more, they propose that the Christian right ranks could rise to 550 million within a century. So they're just trying to outpopulate everyone. Like, that's the bottom line.
And I don't,
keeping
I,
everyone
yeah.
contained within the home, keeping the ideology super close, like all of that just leads to like continuing to populate an area or a country with one ideology. So it's troubling and it's not great. And it's, I don't know, it's easy to gawk at Quiverful families. Like if we,
sure,
I don't know.
Thanks to the Duggars and the coverage of them recently and how Jim Bob's taken all the money on Perez Hilton. It was a good read for me.
Also that, yes. And it continues to be fascinating. And like, I loved Sister Wives and like.
Yeah, it's been sensationalized.
For sure that it has. And it's because it's like other to us. It's not like. Well, for me, it's not super other. I feel like I grew up with like going to church with some people who did this kind of shit. Okay. I don't know. I guess I was thinking in researching this, like, what does it actually feel like to be raised Quiverful? And like, how different is like life after Quiverful? Because you don't see that very often, like in the Duggars and stuff. Like, I know that some of them have left, but we don't like get a follow up with the kids that have removed themselves, you know?
Right.
And in
right.
Welcome to Plathville, you get a little bit of that because there's like the one kid who's moved out. But even still, like, he sees his family like four nights a week. It's not like there's actual separation or like he actually has very much independence. He's like giggling, drinking a Pepsi in his house. I'm serious. So I wanted to briefly talk about that. There was an interview that I found with a girl or a woman, I'm sorry, named Hannah Ettinger. And she grew up Quiverful. The article is called What It Was Like to Grow Up Quiverful by Jennifer Matthew. And
all right, Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Jennifer and Hannah. And the main thing, she talks a lot about like just like struggling with like making her own choices and like her dad supporting her choice to like choose to go to a different church, but then did not like allow her to choose who to date even when she was an adult. And so there was like the weird tension of like, he said that I had like, I was an adult and I could choose like where to worship, but like, I still can't choose my husband. And so like, she describes like a continuing kind of hold on her as she like grew up and tried to leave home or did leave home. But the biggest thing that I wanted to note from this interview was, Jennifer asks Hannah, what were you worried I would get wrong? And Hannah says,
oh,
because, and I feel like this is important to talk about because, like, these are real people who are, like, not just to be gawked at. And, like, of course, like,
yes,
we believe that they're
full humans.
Yeah. When we believe that their ideology is, like, super, super backwards, but everyone is gray and, like, no one is all good or evil. And, like, I'm sure there are quiverful.
No one's all right or all wrong. Mm-mm.
And I'm sure that there are, like, quiverful dads who feel overwhelmed and don't want to be, like, the head of house exclusively, but, like, feel like they can't get out of it. And so.
Because that's their community.
Absolutely. And there's pressures maybe from grandparents. And it's, it's a whole system of giving too much fucks what other people think. But Hannah says, I think the thing I was most worried you'd get wrong would be the interactions between the child and the parents. It's so easy to either idealize the false closeness and codependency of a quiverful parent-child relationship as a model parent-child dynamic, or to villainize the parents once you realize the toll this lifestyle takes on the children. In reality, though, the parents are just as confused as the kids and are often and are often struggling with deep set psychological issues and need as much therapy and compassion as the kids do to recover from the dehumanizing reality of trying to have a perfect quiverful family and to please a demanding and holy God. It's a really complicated, nuanced reality, and it's hard to have compassion for both parties once you realize the depths of pain that can be created from this lifestyle, but it's absolutely vital to see both parties as humans trying their best in difficult circumstances. None of these parents set out to live this way just because they hated their kids. They all did it because they believe that it's truly what was best. And I think that it's hard for me.
Or, you know, they were born into it and didn't know a way out.
Exactly. Exactly. And so.
Because it sounds like you could be excommunicated, you know?
I definitely think. Because the idea is to keep the ideology closed. So even Ethan and Olivia on Welcome to Plathville are experiencing a little bit of excommunication. Like, they're not allowed to see their siblings except under supervised conditions because they think a little differently than their parents. And that's dangerous. But again, the parents are super confused. And, like, once again, to call back to Welcome to Plathville, if you watch it and you see kind of this heartbreaking reality of Mariah, who is 17 and, like, really wanting to go off on her own. Like, she wants to go to college really bad.
That's the part that really stresses me out the most, because this is where I go, how can anything good come from a system that's trying to, like, suppress knowledge?
Absolutely. And that is intrinsically bad. But it's hard when you watch it not to just absolutely hate the mom, because but then I have to go, okay, like, this is gray and nuanced as well, because, like, the mom is, like, having some undealt with stuff paired with, like, patriarchy bullshit. And the mom keeps saying that she wants to save Mariah from having the experience that she had at college. So the mom is, like, one class away from a degree in music therapy and, like, never finished. But she describes college as, like, a really dark time and, like, won't really elaborate. But, like, basically the mom had a negative experience at college and now feels that that will be all of her children's experience. And so is trying to just, like, have her girls, like, get married and not get jobs and not go to college because that feels safer. And, like, have the sons just do, like, manual labor, because she keeps saying, like, you'll just get in debt and then never be able to get out of debt if you go to college. And, like, you'll make a lot of bad decisions and be, like, really tempted by the world. Like, it will ruin you to go to college. And so
it's really hard to have compassion. Based on the lifestyle they subscribe to, how the financial circumstances of college could seem bad.
Oh, man. And there's a scene where Mariah and her mom reluctantly goes, but, like, Mariah had to have someone drive her there. So they go to this, like, seminar at a local college and they start talking about scholarship opportunities. And Mariah is just, like, fuming sitting in this lecture. And in her interview, she's like, I can't believe that my parents never told me that scholarships and grants and financial aid were a thing. Like, they've been telling me.
Oh, my God. She didn't even know it
this
existed.
Whole time, like, how much, like, money I would be indebted and, like, they can't pay and there's, like, no way around it. And she's like, I just really feel like this was manipulative. And
wow. Yeah.
I think it probably was. And so what I'm trying to...
Again, it goes to suppressing knowledge. Knowledge of these financial mm-hmm. options. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You just keep somebody... Because at all costs, they will, like, keep her in their, like, little compound forever. And, like, right. choose her mate, ideally. And then she'll have 12 children and they'll all live there, too. But that's not what she wants. And so what I'm trying to say is, like, to Hannah's point that, like, we have to look at everything with compassion is yeah. that this woman who is the mom is so unlikable in this situation because of what sure. she's, like, robbing her child of. However, mm-hmm. it's really clear in the mom's interviews and in what she's saying that the mom is just, like, not conscious at all that she's, like, projecting her own experience all over her kids. And she's mm-hmm. not conscious that she's, like, trying to heal something that happened to her by, mm-hmm. like, having her kids have a different future. And ultimately, yeah. it comes down to, like, her needing, like, too much control over her kids' lives in a way that's not mm-hmm. okay. But... Yeah. I'm trying to, I don't know, it's tough, but I'm trying to, like, see her as, like, a three-dimensional person who is more than just, like, this narrow set of beliefs, because I'm sure that, like, she also struggles with it from time to time.
Of course she does. Yeah, and I mean, some of this too, I'm sure she lacks some of the knowledge that would be helpful or understandings of how things work, and then you go, like, what part of it is withheld and what part of it is truly not knowing? And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. And I feel like the biggest thing I hear, though, truly when you talk about it, is this idea of, you know, almost hanging kids on the wall like trophies or placards mm-hmm. in this way that doesn't fully realize their humanity. But it seems like that was probably the parents' experience too. So saying, like, you're not treating these people and, like, in a way that is, you know, full of dignity and recognizes their many facets mm-hmm. and their, you know, full humanity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think maybe they've ever experienced that as an option.
No, how I think it's literally their culture to not have
yeah,
that.
It's like, how do you give someone something you have never comprehended, known existed, et cetera, you know?
Mm-hmm. God, it is, like, it's very similar to watching, like, the Breaking Amish show that's about Rumspringa.
I keep thinking about Rumspringa while we're talking about this. I keep being like, this is, like, when kids, like, you know, leave the Amish and, like, have their Rumspringa time. I keep thinking about that.
It does, very much. In thinking about Quiverful, like, the big takeaway for me, as mentioned, is just that, like, individual family members, like, aren't fully responsible for what's going on in the way that, like, anything systemic is, like, not one individual's fault, but rather, like, this giant system that, like, many people are participating in with varying right. degrees of allegiance. But, like, overall, it's this machine that keeps plowing forward.
Right, huh.
I also thought a lot about, like, what if we took religion out of this for a second? So, like...
Okay, yeah, let's do that, actually.
Like, obviously, God and, like, godliness or, like, holiness is kind of what, like, what gives Quiverful, like, its backbone. Like, it's the why
yeah.
of it, or it's at least, like, it's the excuse for why, is what I'll say.
The rationale.
Yes, yes. Because as I mentioned before, I truly think that this is just, like, a weird biological desire being manifested in, like, a bad way. That is just, like, people's mm-hmm. desire to not die and to have, like, their lineage spread across the earth. Father Abraham, you know, many sons.
And many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you.
Oh my God, this is
so
really...
So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm. Then you start doing motions. Left is it... foot. There's, like, you're stomping, you're waving your arms.
Is it like an army march?
I don't think it's quite an army march, but maybe it is. Listen, I don't know. I was dishonorably discharged.
Me too. Later than you, though. Anyway, so it keeps making me think of, like, Jeffrey Epstein and, like,
him. Oh, because, okay. Let's
unpack
this. So
he's, like the atheist version of this to me. So he, in, like, an ultimate supervillain kind of way. So he created, mm-hmm. like, Little St. Jeff's, like his island, and the Zorro Ranch in, I think, in New Mexico, out west. And at these places, he was wanting to seed the earth. Like, he was wanting to create, like, a generation of Jeffrey Epsteins. And so he was trafficking and gathering and keeping women captive. And his plan was that he would impregnate 20 women at a time constantly, and then more if possible. And he viewed it as, like, a gift to the planet that he would... And that's the way that the Quiverful people are talking about it, like shooting like a light into the dark by like having these children who are like biologically and mentally yours. And so like Epstein is thinking that he'll create like this great generation that has, I don't know, 500 of his children with like his excellent intelligence.
The confidence and narcissism of these
in both places
cis heterosexual white men. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind, because I think for me it's really like an easy way to prove that like Quiverful is not okay, because as soon as you take God out of it, what you're left with is like essentially just a predator, or like a predatory pyramid, really. That's family.
Wow, that's a really interesting way to think about it and to unpack it. That, yeah, what makes some of this different than Hugh Hefner and like all of his girlfriends, you know, and this
holiness.
There are curfews and you can't leave the house, and you know, how does
it's just like the Playboy Mansion. Oh my God, you're right.
I
forgot
know
about
I
those curfews.
To Playboy, but why not?
Like, yeah. Wow.
There is. Yeah, it feels oddly adjacent to that. And I mean, we probably have gotten into this in like many things, but I really don't believe that religion is always a source of this. And like, you know, there is, I think, a lot of good stuff that can come from it, like across all sorts of faiths. But it's really unfortunate how frequently it's weaponized to justify bad behavior.
It really is.
Or
it
the
really
repression
is.
Of any group of people.
Yeah. And to
be them
fair,
your children or just like strangers.
Everyone.
You know?
Everyone. But like to the point that there are good things too, of course. Like it's a community.
Absolutely.
Like people also have good in them. Hannah, in that article, What Was It Like to Grow Up Quiverful? Like they asked like was there anything good about growing up? And she had a lot to say about like being close with her siblings and like learning like a lot of skills. She says the only thing that she doesn't know how to do that like a traditional 1950s housewife would know, which by the way, it's problematic that like those are the skills that she learned, but she at least enjoyed learning them. She said that she could never make aspics. And I texted you about this word earlier.
Oh, you asked me if I knew what an aspic was. And I said, yeah, those weird like meat jello molds that are like kind of from the 70s.
Exactly. And I had never heard of an aspic, but until she mentioned it, and I had to look it up. And it was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they're not cute. Google it if you need to, dear listener. A-S-P-I-C-S.
Please give it a quick Goog. But then I was like, why the fuck would... a 15-year-old in 2012 need to know how to make an aspic? And it just made me realize that like, oh, that's from the 70s. That's when this shit started.
I mean, I don't know these that people they're from have, the 70s, but to me, it seems 70s-esque. I don't want to
be internet told
on
me,
the era of the food.
Oh, the internet okay, told good. Me that it was popular from the 50s to the 70s. And
the 70s loved a Jell-O mold or anything to be molded.
I know,
that's why,
I know. And it always makes me think of early episodes of The Simpsons with all those gelatins. I don't know. There were
it's because
gelatins.
They were like can openers were new. You know, people were losing their goddamn minds.
No, okay. You're right. You're right. Anyway, so it just made me think like, whoa, like what kind of like non-evolving life do you have if like a tenant of being a Quiverful woman is being able to make an aspic? That's like the most outdated thing in the world. Anyway, that's just a brief aside. But Hannah also said that she like loved a lot of things about growing up Quiverful, but like mostly it's just been really confusing to be an adult in the world now.
You know, and this is a real thing to me, because you talk about it's a bummer that the values instilled on these women are like housewife values. And I will say something that I've reflected a lot on in my quarantine times is I happen to have a lot of domestic, quote unquote, hobbies and passions.
And I think that's great.
I don't have any problem with it, but it actually leans into the, like, I don't think that people necessarily have a problem with its service value that, like, oh, like, I really like to cook, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. When we use that as all we can give, like, repressed women, it devalues things that I care about and mm-hmm. makes them not as important. And to the same part, I think about in art where we have said, like, you know, quilting isn't like an art, it's like a craft. And I'm like, stop shitting on like these beautiful skill sets and, you know, making them not worthy because we've likened it to like a domestic woman thing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we put lesser value on it, it also, you know, it, these stories that you're telling, these women are being prevented from doing things that aren't domestic, but also domestic things are being weaponized as less than other things. And so, like, everyone loses on so many fucking levels.
100%. And that's exactly the kind of thing that, like, Mary Pride takes advantage of in her book, The Way Home, is highlighting the way those things that many women and many people care about have been, like, devalued. But rather than saying you can quilt and also have, like, a career if you want it, or it's great if you want to have kids but you don't have to, she's saying, like, that quilting is,
or, like,
the right thing to do.
Or, like, you can be a worthy woman and not cook.
Yes, yes. No, there's no room for that, unfortunately. And so it's easily weaponized. But the last thing I wanted to mention is Quiverful Adoptions. So...
I'm very intrigued. Okay.
So there's a website that I found that continues to fuck up my search history called quiverfuladoptions.com.
And I would expect this would really do a lot for your algorithm.
The ads that I get now are, it's no longer like all across the board. Like, I could be pitched anything, any product, any, like, religion at any time to, like, now I'm getting pitched, like, really exclusively conservative stuff and, like, stuff about, like, prepping for children already from this
of
one
course.
Thing.
Why not? I love this for you. Okay.
Anyway, it's fine. It's interesting. But so there's this site for Quiverful Adoptions. So they have, like, a page of expectant families, and there's, like, a picture of the couple, and you can click on them. And in the bottom, this little thing popped up after I had been on the site for about 10 minutes. And it was, like, a little, like, speech bubble that, like, I could chat with someone if I wanted to. And it said, "Are you pregnant and need help?"
Are you pregnant and need help? We will take your children into our quither.
And so, sifting through this site a little bit, like, I read some of the bios and, like, I don't know, some of them, the people are, like, fairly normal, but are probably just, like, involved with a church that's, like, a little bit weird. But the thing that I found the most interesting was that the Quiverful Adoption site works with an orphanage in Colombia. And after clicking through some of the family's profiles, I discovered that one couple, Scott and Natalia, Scott is American and Natalia was born in Colombia and adopted by a Quiverful family that is associated with this site. And now her and Scott are on there to quiverfully adopt, perhaps from Colombia as well. And so that,
these poor children, I'm sad.
It feels like a pipeline for kids or something. I don't know. It's very stressful. It's very stressful, and it's a feeling of absorbing other people's children, or like acquiring people to kind of indoctrinate into your ideology who may have otherwise believed something else. Exactly.
Okay, R. Kelly. Sorry, we went there. Okay.
We did. There was a family that I went to high school with, and this is going to be the second bleep of the show, but do you remember the family?
Yes.
They had a whole mess of their own kids, and then also...
A whole mess.
They also... like fostered and then like fostered to adopt one kid. And I suspect that maybe they were quiverful, but like, I don't know for sure. Or they were like something adjacent, definitely anti-birth control and like very conservative Christian.
Sure.
But, and I will never get over this. The adopted child, came out as gay in high school and they full rejected him, like kicked him out of the house, like locked the doors, like he had to stay with a friend that night, like never came back. The family like wouldn't talk about what happened with him, and it was just like he had never been in their family at all.
Oh my God.
I know. And so that to me says like, okay, this is a situation where like someone saying I'm gay kind of ultimately says like, I will never like believe in this like quiverful shit no matter what. And so like, what do you even have left to work with, you know? And so then maybe you're like, well, just got to cut them loose. They can't be around. Well, again, they can't be corrupting the other children.
Right. Well, this goes to if procreation is like the most valuable thing. It leaves no space for different sexual orientations.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Even though, of course, like adoption could be a thing. Listen, there could be quiverful gays. Like,
listen, you could be the one. They're trying to recruit you online right now.
Oh, no. No, I don't want to have a whole mess of kids. Sorry. They don't want me. They don't want me raising anyone.
I mean, they don't really want you, but the algorithm suggests different.
The algorithm thinks I'm a man. It's totally different.
Okay, well, that checks out.
The internet literally thinks I'm an incel. It's because I'm on Reddit subthreads a bunch.
This all checks out. Okay.
But in conclusion, I just like, and I don't know that there's an answer to this, but I just wanted to ask, like, what is attractive about Quiverful? Like, if we tried to understand, like, why would someone join?
The community.
100%. Because I think I've seen friends kind of get absorbed into Christian rings that are maybe not my favorite ideology.
Young life is the same shit.
It is. It is.
Without the forced procreation. And I think a lot of religious like groups and faiths, this is like both a pro and like can be a sticking point con. And like so many organizations are like this, like not just things rooted in some sort of religious ideology or faith, but people, listen, we are social animals. That's what we are as humans. And yes, and I think a lot of times for folks, you know, you don't want to leave your community. You don't want to be removed from it. You don't see another way. That's how you end up staying in this. It can also be the incentive to be a part of it. Shout out to the dads, like really trying to throw a purity ball. They wanted to be around the other dads. Like it maybe felt like the excuse.
I don't know.
To have
or
dad
around
friends.
The other daughters. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's some dark other things we could ask about, but I really think it's about feeling like you found a place. And actually, let's bring it back to fucking incels. That's a community thing.
Oh my God, you're right. You're right.
It's about finding something that becomes the sticking point of community. And even communities that seem rooted in something positive can quickly shift negatively when there's no room for nuance or differing opinions or types of people.
Exactly. And to that point, I think that like Vicky talked about from No Longer Quivering, there are a lot of families who are just kind of like moderately conservative Christians who start homeschooling, and because like people in their church also do it, like maybe they join a co-op.
Then you get roped into this because you're like, how do we have homeschool community?
And you just get further and further roped in, and then like you're accidentally teaching your kids this shit because it's literally their school now. And you were just probably trying to have friends. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I have blindly believed before. And I guess like other than just Christianity and being like raised in that and it taking me a long time to challenge it. That's the main thing. Oh, also maybe like blindly believing that I was straight, even though deep down, like knowing that that was untrue.
Oh, but let's take it even in like a superficial, less existential crisis kind of way and say like, hey, have we like pretended to like enjoy like a show or like a band just to like be a part of the group?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't been to a concert that you're like, I don't really like these guys, but all my friends are going.
Or listen, two seasons of The Crown deep. And I'm like, I get so high when I watch
The Crown.
This. I like it all right. I don't know. It doesn't always hold my attention, but it's fun to talk about with people. So back when like the first
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I didn't finish Game of Thrones because I broke with that one, but I was sad to not be able to talk about it.
People want to, again, that's community, and that's some superficial shit. And we all engage in stuff from time to time that maybe doesn't feel like the number one use of our time. Shout out to social media in so many ways. But because you become kind of roped into a community through that, and you don't want to miss out on the human connection. And sometimes it's hard to recognize whether that connection is fulfilling or not.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, once you enter into, like, the social group, there are always kind of, for better or worse, like, hierarchical rules, like, what makes someone, like, a better Quiverful person, or like a better Young Life person, or like more into it than other people. Like, there's always these people that have kind of, like, even if they don't have a senior position, it feels like they have a senior position. Like in Young Life, the guy who has like a canoe rack on his car
and the goatee,
yes, and like wears sandals in the winter, like that guy is like
real hard ass,
more Young Life than like probably the other people that are there. And so, like, I feel like in Quiverful, it's the guy who has the most kids. Like, you win Quiverful if you have the most kids.
Or even just maybe, you know, plenty of children, but you seem exteriorly the most perfect.
Mm-hmm. Most holy. The holiness.
Yeah.
All your daughters have head coverings.
You're an influencer in the Quiverful community.
Ooh,
you know?
You're doing the setups. You're making matches.
Your life seems the most picturesque.
And that's another thing. This is the last thing I will say, but...
That's fucking Jim Bob Duggar. Go on.
It is. And the setting up of the matches by the parents, and specifically the fathers, like, reminds me of the fundamentalist Mormon groups, like, led by Warren Jeffs, where he would decide who would have babies with who in order to basically create, like, the future of his cult, and decide, like, which people to pair together so that, like, maybe, like, two people who were open-minded don't get together who might naturally gravitate toward...
I've never been more deeply disturbed in my life. Go on.
And that is a way to, like... subtly, but not so subtly, like, completely control the future of your group if you're deciding what the families
shit,
are.
God.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So I just keep thinking about, like, with the control that Quiverful asserts over their children's, like, matchmaking, it makes me feel weird about, kind of like this little race that they're making and designing, almost. It feels designed.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's designed by God. Anyway, any other questions, comments, concerns, things to say about Quiverful before we move into a verbal game?
Nope, just gonna spend the next week trying to remove my vagina from my throat.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe some deep lunges and, like, guttural moans. I don't know how you work it back down.
Oh, all right, I'll probably read some, like, really erotic literature about, you know,
that would probably help
Europe.
help it migrate back down.
That's my favorite genre of quarantine, like, erotic gay fiction taking place in Europe. Bring it to me.
Yeah, that's an incredible genre. Do you remember, just brief aside, speaking of doing deep squats and moaning,
go on.
There was a woman at the YMCA when we used to work out there.
Oh, this lady. I immediately can see her. Go on.
That's all. I just wondered if you remembered, for your benefit,
listeners. I remember
listeners.
That I've never seen someone stretch in a more, like, audible way in my life. Guys, you probably have experienced it. Just imagine, like,
she was heavily pregnant.
A heavily pregnant middle-aged woman getting her pre-spin and post-spin class stretches in, but moaning in a way that honestly could have low-key have been interpreted as sexual. So
it sounded like when someone goes to, like, a natural birthing class and they do that,
yes,
like, oh, like that. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Oh, I heard
it's
it
to
live.
Remove pain God. From the body. Anyway, she was doing that. And I don't remember now even why I said that. But
it doesn't matter. Guttural moans, vaginas. I love it all.
Oh, yeah. Removing your vagina from the throat. So without further ado, cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
All right. So in the theme of continuing to make up new names for verbal games, today,
yes,
we have Fill Your Quiver. Who will fill your quiver?
Oh, excuse me while I strap a small cylinder onto my back. Go on.
So this is basically just like, would you rather? And you're going to decide. So you are going to be moving into a life situation where you are a fully Quiverful woman. And
prep my skirts.
Yep. Prep your skirts. Prep your head coverings.
I don't own skirts. Go on.
You're going to have to cut your pants apart and sew them together.
I'm going to have to cut my pants apart and stitch them together.
And then you'll just be like tiptoeing.
Yeah, there'd be not a lot of room for my legs to move, which I think is what they want. Go on.
Well, but it's too form-fitting. You're going to make other men stumble, and your husband might be mad. Anyway, so I'm going to need you to choose your priesthead, the man who will fill your quiver. So the person who's going to impregnate you repeatedly and have, pretty much just, control over your life. So would you rather...
He's responsible for my financial, emotional, and, spiritual
and physical well-being. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your choices are Jim Bob Duggar, so the Duggar dad.
I knew he was going to be in the mix. Okay.
Or Randy of the Virgin Daughters. Do you remember Randy?
Oh, God. Guys,
if you could briefly describe
the Purity Ball episode. Randy, salt and pepper hair.
12 kids.
Had 12 children. He was deeply invested in the Purity Ball culture, and really it felt like his greatest joy was being in charge of this kind of thing and in charge of his family. There's also a lot of weird praying over everyone.
All the children sang a song to their father,
sung to. It was very
he had Keith Raniere vibes.
I'm trying to think of someone to like him to. Who?
Keith Raniere of NXIVM, who was recently arrested, reminded me of Randy. If anyone watched The Vow, it's a similar kind of soft-spoken but in control grossness.
Yeah, it made me deeply uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. So who's going to fill your quiver?
Oh, God, these are both so bad.
Yeah. And then we have a follow-up.
I'm so anti-Jim Bob, but when you brought Randy into it, I was like, oh.
I don't know who's scarier.
I don't either. Because they're both, I feel like they're both really scary behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. I would be more worried that Randy would hit me than I would be worried that Jim Bob would hit me.
I don't know, but then there's, weird sexual abuse stuff in the Duggar house that I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
But do you think there's not in Randy's house?
They're probably it. I don't know. Well, yeah, probably. Get a whole mess of kids and put them under pressure.
In terms of attraction levels, which is again, vagina in the throat for both of them. I do think Randy is more attractive than Jim Bob.
There is that. Yeah. Jim Bob looks like a Mormon thumb.
And I will say Jim Bob and the Duggars seem to not really socialize with anyone but their family. But Randy and his Purity Ball lifestyle has a lot of Purity Ball family friends. And they're you have more of a community of
And the kids work at coffee shops and stuff.
Yeah, I think Randy has, although wild, a slightly more normal or integrated into societal life. So even though I really... I'm not a fan. I choose Randy.
I also feel like Randy...
I also hate the name Randy, and I can't imagine saying either Randy or Jim Bob, as names sexually. Both stress me out.
What about Randall?
Don't like it.
Just Jim is probably better. Okay, so then I have one more question. This is the alternative SVU edition, because it feels appropriate.
Okay.
Some of these people are probably special victims. But... So one of these two can fill your quiver, and that's going to be Elliot Stabler or Captain Cragen.
Cragen.
Okay. And then an alternative intro, since that was so easy, although I think you're going to stick with Cragen.
I really like Christopher Maloney, but Elliot would hit you. Cragen would not.
He would. That's true. So what if it was Cragen or Ice-T?
Ice-T.
Yeah, 100%. Have to.
I love Ice-T. Oh,
my God. I'm like, would I be quiverful for Ice-T? I mean, I'm joking, but it wouldn't be the worst life. We've seen Ice Loves Coco. It seems like he's a nice husband.
He's fun. I like Ice-T. I'm a big fan of Ice-T.
He's the best part of SVU to me, other than the riveting Mariska 42-minute plot lines and Mariska.
I mean, but Ice-T is the best. And how he also, never wants to be promoted. I relate to that sometimes on a level. He's like, why would I want to do
Listen,
that?
Listen, let me sit right here, get super good at my job.
Also, his character, really, came around to,
He had some, that gay son.
He has gay son. He's, very pro his gay son, loves his gay son's, husband / fiance. I think they get married, but could be a fiance. Well, I don't know. And also, is... like solve some like abuse scandals in his own family in riveting series that involved Ludacris making a, you know, a special appearance.
I forgot about that.
Ludacris was a good dramatic actor in that episode.
I love
Ludacris
as an actor.
Shout out to Luda, honestly.
There is a large mural or like a giant like printout picture of him and his daughter ziplining in Gatlinburg on the outside of the building where you sign up to zipline. It's like a half a city block length. I love it. I remember walking by and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, is that Ludacris? And then it says like pictured Ludacris and daughter.
This might be my favorite piece of information I've learned in a long time. If you too love Ludacris, if you too would be quiverful, perhaps with iced tea, or you know what? Better yet, Mariska Hargitay. We can't know. I will say this. I would like to hear about it. I also, again, I'm hearkening back. Let us know about your peppery and knowledge or lack thereof.
You guys, seriously.
We got to know. And as always, you can sound off and let us know about all the things on the internet. You can find us via email at whyyourelikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyourelikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And at the risk of a little bit of light self-promotion in these weird times, and you're maybe looking for some karmic justice coming back to you, callback, that's what that's called, kids. If you're into that, I don't know, rate, review, subscribe, drop us a line. We'd love
it. Yeah, tell us that we need to be more scientific. That seems to be a consensus. But once again, reminder that this is an entertainment show.
Tell us we believe lies.
That's fine.
Tell us we believe lies.
Write whatever you want, but we'd love a review.
Whatever you want.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.